This is episode 61 of the Marshall Street Podcast.
You're listening to the Marshall Street Podcast, the home of music industry know-how that will give you the skills to take your career to the next level. Here are your hosts, Ben Marshall and Stu Watts.
Welcome back to the Marshall Street Podcast, episode 61, I believe, Stewie.
61. We are killing it. We're doing heaps this year.
Yep.
I hope you're loving it. If you are, make sure you share us around on your socials. You can now rate us on Spotify. Please share this video if you're watching it on YouTube. Thank you again for the support so far in this year. And as we have been saying over the last few episodes, we do have free consultations available. They are available to book now in our Instagram bios. You can find it all there. Love it. This episode is all about building your team and how you can best utilize your team to rise together.
Mm-hmm. That is it. We've said it on a lot of podcasts that you need a team around you. So I guess this episode, we're going to deep dive in why that team's important.
Yeah.
A lot of people would have heard that you got to build your team as an artist, as a creative. You know, there's multiple roles that go into being an artist. It's not just that one artist in the middle of it that creates music. You know, you have management, PR, marketing team, all the other things that go alongside it. So we're going to touch on a little bit about the roles as well as why they're so crucial to have.
Yeah. I mean, any creative, aspect requires a whole bunch of different creative output. You know, for example, music, you know, if it's a song, it needs artwork for the album cover. It needs a video clip. It needs marketing. Mm-hmm. It needs PR pushing. It
needs to be mixed. It needs to be mastered.
It needs to be recorded in the first place. Yeah, exactly. Yep. So many different roles. And the same can be said in reverse. If you're, if you're a photographer, you need other people to help you along your journey as well.
Exactly right. And I think one of the biggest mistakes an artist, in my opinion, can do is going down the path at trying to be very good at all of these roles.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to nail it.
You can't.
I think at the start, it is super crucial and important that you do dabble and learn what's involved in them to make so that you can outsource and get someone on board to deliver a result in alignment with your values and your creative vision. But I think trying to go down the line of being a fucking deadly and awesome video producer and video editor and cinematographer and mix engineer and mastering engineer and PR agent and booking agent, you're delusional.
It's the classic cliche of jack of all trades, master of none.
Yeah.
You cannot master all of these different things. They are all individual strains that need to be mastered as one thing.
Yep. And you're doing your art a disservice if you're trying to do that. 100%. You're going to be a watered down version of yourself when if you align yourself with the right team and you have someone who's dope at mixing your track, and you have someone who's awesome at mastering your track, and you've teamed up with someone who loves video and cinema and
filming. Filmography.
Yep.
And I think it's a really important point, and I want you to take the time to think about that. Think about, if you do it all yourself, what the output's going to be like.
Mm-hmm. Not only that, what's the at what cost are you doing it? How many hours do you need to learn just to basic edit a clip, not to go into anything that's going to make it look good? Like, we're talking 40, 50 hours, and you need software and cameras for this gear.
And that's the common trap that we see where
that's just to be basic at it.
Yeah, and we see that where artists will release one song a year because of that
reason.
They're
trying to do that, yeah.
There's too much to do.
And then usually for any artist listening, if you like, holy shit, these guys have just said what I'm doing, let me go through your socials and I can guarantee you will be coming off as jaded in some of your posts because you're putting in all these hours and you're not feeling you're getting the results.
Yeah.
Because you're not doing your art or yourself any service by being average at a lot of things.
Yeah. And so there is that aspect of there's so many different roles that you have to play. And it's still true regardless of whether you have a team. Mm-hmm. You still have to be doing a whole bunch of different stuff. It's unavoidable. Yep. And it's important that you do quite a few things at a high level.
Mm-hmm.
But it is really, really important that you have a team of people that you can trust, that you get along with, that you have good communication with, that you respect their art, that they're good at it too, and you will
get... So that you're not micromanaging them and coming back, because no one wins in that situation.
No. Yeah.
So now that we've established that you do need to eventually find yourself a team, as you said, early on, if you're just starting, yeah, you do need to put in some hours to learn what all these roles are and why they're needed in your team. But once you progress past that first 1, 2, 3 year mark, you should be starting to do some more, I guess, intent networking to find the pieces of the puzzle. Mm-hmm. You know, the great example I used in a few podcasts ago was Jack the Bear, Tones. Him and Mikey Costa came up together. Mikey wanted to be a mix engineer. Tones wanted to be a mastering engineer. So they used to get raw stems. Mikey would do a mix of it, and then Tones would do a master of it.
Yeah.
They're just bouncing back and forth and lifting each other up at the same time.
People hear that and go, aren't they a mixing and mastering engineer in the same thing? No, because they wanted to be really good at those respective pieces of that.
100. And then look at them now. They're both respected in that art.
Yep.
But they did it together. It wasn't, hey, man, let me go and do this on my own and hope that my mental state stays good and hope that all my relationships are good, as well as me in isolation getting good at my craft.
And actually having time. It's like time's the killer. Like there's only so many hours in the day.
Yeah. And I mean, as we said before, with music, this is something you can't see, you can't touch. It's an intangible. You don't know what bad habits you're forming unless you've got someone there to bounce stuff off to.
Yep.
You know, 100%. As a mix engineer, forming all sorts of nasty habits purely because you're sitting on your own in isolation trying to learn a craft.
Yep.
You need someone else there to bounce off.
Yeah, trust me, I've been there for sure. And I know that you would have been there with, you know, a lot of the stuff.
Scratching and turntablism, like, you know, technique. Whether you're learning guitar, if you learn guitar on your own, like I did, with no lessons, trust me, my technique was awful, you know?
But it's that ignorance is like, you know, the fact that you could be taking 5 hours to do something that takes someone that is a specialist half an hour to do, that maths, it's pretty obvious.
And not only that, you're going to be doing, in 2 years, you're going to have to spend another 2 years to unform those bad habits, you know?
Exactly.
So I guess even let's now touch on some of the perks of having that team. Yep. One is obviously that you can rectify any sort of bad habits that you're forming just because you've got someone else to bounce ideas off.
Yeah.
But I think there's so much more towards working in a team than what straight meets the eye.
Yep.
It's, you know, it's the intangibles of being present with someone else.
Yes.
Just being in the same room as another creative, you guys get into this positive feedback loop and your vibration levels rise with them. Mm-hmm. And if they're down, you can feel it. So suddenly it's a kind of moving entity. You've got human nature is at play. And one, that'll teach you how to work on a team with others. You'll learn how to give and take criticism about a creative work.
Yep.
And all of these skills.
Communication.
All of these skills will do you so much good in the long run.
Yep.
But it's not a straight, they're not the first thing that comes to your mind when it's, hey, why should I work in a team?
Yeah, you're thinking of the output. You're thinking of, I'm going to get a better video clip.
Yeah. But you're going to learn how to communicate about art, how to talk. It's like, as I say to most rappers when they come in here, like you should know about the production and recording side of things, not to be a producer and not to be a recording engineer. Yep. But if you're put in a studio with another producer and another engineer and you don't know how to talk and you don't know how to describe your art to them using words that everyone knows and using language of music, you're going to be handcuffed by them. You're not going to actually know how to get the best result for your product, and you're going to be left at the mercy of them.
Correct. And the result that you get at the end is probably not what you're going to be having in mind. And it's not the producer's fault.
Yep.
And it's at the end of the day, it's because you don't understand it and you cannot communicate properly. So communication and that sort of thing is super important. Leveling up when you have challenges, you know, challenges are the biggest thing to improvement because it means that you are being reflective. You're going through something difficult to build. Like, you know, you talk, the gym analogy is a clear one, is you have to break the muscle, tear the muscle for it to rebuild and get stronger.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same with challenges and anything that you come across that is slightly negative or heaps negative. You know, you're going to have to go through certain hard things, but with the team that you have a support network, those hard things are less difficult because you can bounce them off each other and they can share the load.
Well, they can also bring a new perspective to
Correct.
It. You know, it's very easy, especially artists are usually sensitive creatures. It's easy for them to get in their own heads. When something doesn't go their way, it's easy for them to beat themselves up with.
Yep.
And if you're sitting in a room on your own and beating yourself up because you've got a fucking shitty perspective on what's just happened, you're your own worst enemy.
Yeah.
You're going to keep going down a black spiral. And unless you unless you pull yourself out of it, you're going to need someone else to come and pull you out of it.
Yep.
Whereas if you're going through this with a team, suddenly it's like, I can be sitting here feeling fucking shit about what happened.
Yep.
But then Stu's here and he's like, hey, man, you know, don't worry about it. It's not, think about it this way or this. And hey, man, at least you're glad it happened now and not in 2 months. Suddenly, but just
even,
that other
even having that awareness that someone else can have that you can't have when you're in that, it's like, it can take me something as simple as, hey, man, are you all right?
Yep.
That can trick you. No, not trick you. That can kind of flick you out of that. Oh, okay, something's up. I need to fix something within myself that you may not have been able, or it might have taken an extra day or two for you to get out of that funk. Just having that person there to say that to you, as simple as that, you're gonna move on a lot quicker. But yeah, the perspective thing's huge. Everyone's gone on different journeys. We have all learnt different things along the way. We've seen things from different perspectives. And so there's always going to be stuff that you've seen that I haven't seen and vice versa that we can share and we can unpack and, you know, discover more about ourselves at the end of the day.
Absolutely. Yep. So just by having that team around, they can pull you out of those ruts or those negative mind spaces, one, a hell of a lot quicker, but two, they can bring a perspective that it should get you into this growth mindset and this moving forward. Because at the end of the day, being stagnant is the worst thing you can do. That's the worst thing with a career, for the worst thing for your mental health.
Yes.
Is to be stagnant and think that there's no way to move forward.
Yep.
So just by having another human in the room to bring you out of those spaces. Oh, and hey, say something shitty does happen. You've got someone there to sit in it with you.
Yep. Just
and be like, hey man, this sucks. Yep. Fuck, this doesn't feel good.
Yep.
But sometimes you got to feel those lows to go, all right, now we need to get things going again.
And you learn how to deal with it for next time as well. It's like we've gone through some shit here at the studios in the 3 years that we've been open. We've seen some stuff. We've had some stuff that is undesirable happen to us, but we've been there for each other. And just as a team, we've been able to discuss it and figure out kind of, was there anything that we could have done better?
Mm-hmm.
Was it our fault in the first place?
Yep.
What didn't we do to set that up to have a better outcome?
Yep.
Sometimes there's not anything that you could have done.
Yep.
But without having that team support network to actually discuss and unpack it, you'll never know without it.
Yep.
It'll take you fucking forever.
You'll only have your perspective on it, your one-dimensional view on it.
Yep, absolutely.
I
was going to say, let's take it back a bit, because I think when you – If there's a lot of people listening to this that are at the start of their careers, there might be young people straight out of school, one, two, 3 years out of school, where you're just starting up, you're just joining a band, or you're just starting as a solo artist, there is going to be other people in different creative strains that are on the same path. There's going to be people that are discovering photography, discovering video editing, and there's all of these different areas that you'll eventually need in the music industry as your team that you can find to go on this journey together and to learn things together.
Yep, 100%. The internet is there. Use that. Yeah. Like people in Australia, Triple J Unearthed was how we found bands back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what you need to do is just go and start meeting other people. If you're a rapper, if you're an up-and-coming rapper, you're going to need a producer. Either that or you're going to be paying for beats your whole life and getting them off the net and then paying for sessions. So trust me, you're going to need a producer. You're also going to need a mixed engineer and you're going to need someone to master. So if you're just starting out, find another producer in your neighborhood who lives semi near from you, who's just starting out, and go on that journey together. When he's first starting producing, you'll be first start learning how to write. Mm-hmm. Come up and grow together.
Yep.
And guess what? If in 4 years you guys part ways, cool. You guys you've been each other's support group for those early years.
And you've learned
shit. If you're
a
band, you're a band who's starting out, go on Triple J Unearthed or whatever's relevant in your country or territory. Find another band who's of similar genre. Don't really have to be similar genre, but preferably who's lives near your neighborhood or somewhat close to you, and team up. Go, hey guys, let's put on shows together.
Yep.
Let's learn how to book shows together.
Yep.
Hey, let's rehearse together one time.
Yep.
How do you rehearse? Because we just get drunk and play our songs.
Yeah, exactly.
So what do you do? Go and go on that journey together, because you've just got someone else to bounce ideas off. You've got someone else to grow from, and you've got someone else to help you along the way.
It's that perspective thing again. You know, you never know that what you might be doing is a really hard way, really difficult way that you can make improvements on and get more efficient and be speedier. Like, oh, I didn't even think of having a band meeting before band practice. I thought that was part of band practice.
Yep. And you might be doing things awesome. You might be doing things that other bands aren't doing. And they're like, holy shit, dude.
These guys are another level.
And you won't know. Mm-hmm. And again, if you're a mix engineer, find another mix engineer that you can practice your skills with. Go download the same set of stems from the same track.
Yep.
Go independently mix. Give your mix to the other engineer and then criticize. Be like, hey, man, why'd you do this?
Yep.
Or how did you get this effect? Yeah. You know,
I love that snare sound. How the hell did you do that?
How did you do it?
Yep.
If you're a mastering engineer, find a mix engineer to work off. Like, I guarantee you in this day and age, in 2022, there are so many people chasing a full-time career in creative industries that if you apply yourself for 2 hours on the internet, you will find someone to bounce ideas off.
The availability to find those sorts of people is unparalleled to how it has ever been.
Yeah.
I mean, even something as simple as when like forums were just starting, a similar sort of thing was like that online forum of, I just want to find people. It was like Kill Your Stereo, where it's like, I want to go to gigs with people. Something as simple as that. I just want to find someone that I can go to a gig with.
Yep.
And just by going to the gig, you chat, you find out who their favorite bands are. You find out all of a sudden that they do graphic design.
Yep.
How cool is that? Yep. Sick. Oh, man, I should get you to come and design something the next flyer for my gig.
Yep.
Like there's so many different avenues that you can take that will show itself to you. You would never have expected. So you have to be willing to be open to those sorts of experiences because you will meet someone networking that you had no idea that they had those skills.
100%. And not only that, but people change. People's values and interests change. You might be starting off your journey now as a guitarist in a band going, you know, fuck, all I want to do is play in a band. In 3 years, 4 years, you might be like, you know what, music was fun, but I started looking at graphic design and turns out that was really what I loved. I just didn't know about it when I was 16. And then, you know, find the best thing you can do is just use hacks to make all this shit easier.
Yep.
Like there's an easy way and there's a long way to do any of this.
Yeah.
The long, hard way is to sit in your room on your own and overthink it and come up with plan after plan that you're not going to go and execute and you're not really moving forward in any significant way. And you're constantly going to be battling and feeling like, well, where's my team? Mm. You know, find a way to shortcut all of that. Use things like Instagram hashtags. If you're in Melbourne and you're a starting mix engineer, go to the hashtag Melbourne Mix Engineer.
Yep.
And it'll sort it from who's been most active at the top. So you know they're active. It's not an old account that people aren't posting from. Then literally DM 50 people and go have coffee with 2 of them if they reply. Yep. And out of those 2, you might not fuck with any of them. That's fine. Next week, go and DM someone else.
Yep.
If you do that for a few months, you will find someone that you vibe with and you're like, man, isn't this great? Yep. Now I've got another creator to bounce stuff off.
Absolutely.
If you want to shortcut that, say you're looking for a graphic designer. Say you're a little bit down the road and you're now targeting roles you want. You're like, all right, I need a videographer and I need a graphic designer. Guess what? Creative industries are now at such scale that TAFEs offer classes to people wanting to do this.
Yeah.
Go to your local TAFE, find out when the graphic design course is on. It's probably like a Monday on a Thursday or something. Walk into the classroom and speak to everyone there.
Yep.
Go, hey guys, I'm a up-and-coming artist. I'm just looking for someone who's starting graphic design to bounce ideas with.
Yep.
You know, I can offer, these are the services I can do. I'd love to just team up with you, even if we just have a Zoom once a week and just chat.
Yep, absolutely.
You're now putting yourself in a pool of 20 people who do exactly what you're looking for.
It's huge. And other things like, I know Presonus do regularly in-person catch-ups of people that use Studio One. Like it's so niche. You can get this niche, you know, like people that use Studio One as their production software, they have catch-ups regularly in different areas of the world, you know, and there's one in Melbourne. So it's like trying to find those specific networks that you can build off and stuff is crazy. And understanding that, like we said at the start, when you're trying to do everything yourself, not only are you wasting a whole lot of time, you're not going to get the output, but you have to acknowledge that you have weaknesses and that there are people out there that are good at those things. And so what's the point in spending 60 hours trying to up-skill yourself at video editing when someone is wanting to do that as their full-time thing and willing to spend 60 hours on wanting to do it because they're going to upskill themselves.
100%.
And so it's important that you utilize people for their strengths. Even same thing as taking it back as being in a band. Someone can play drums, someone play guitar.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm not going to try and play drums if I can't play drums. What's the point?
Yep.
It's the same
Exactly. Same thing. Like a sporting team came to mind.
Yeah.
It's like, guess what? You can assemble the greatest sporting team, you know, on paper. If you're getting the pitcher to hit first and you're getting, if you're misusing your team, if you're getting the opening bowler to open bat for people who play cricket, it's like, guess what? Your team's not going to do well. Mm. So you've got to, one, identify what your strengths are, what are you good at, and then put the pieces around you so that everyone can do what they're good at and what they love.
And I think it's an interesting exercise to say, who are all the people that I need? Mm. Write it down. So I'm a mix engineer, mm-hmm. right? Do I need a recording engineer? Do I need a mastering engineer? If you're not doing it yourself, the answer is yes. Okay, do I need artists that are going to send me stuff to mix? Yes. Do, you know, there's so many different areas mm-hmm. and mapping it all out is a really great way to see what you're good at and what you're not so good at or what you're not willing to learn. Mm. Because let's be honest, there's stuff that you're not willing to learn. That's totally fine. Someone else is. But by mapping all of that out, it's a really great visual way to say, this is the amount of different people that I need. I need to dedicate some time to try and find these people that are really passionate about this sort of thing.
Yep, absolutely. And then what you can do as well as that is something that task I got to do at TAFE, or the teachers told us to do at TAFE, which was super handy. And it was basically building a mind map of who your actual networks are. Mm. You know, a lot of people, I think, have these delusions of people they know, or they may know of someone, but that person doesn't know you. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of like that saying, it's not what you know, it's who you know. Mm. It's fucking horseshit. It's not who you know, it's who knows you. Mm. You can know everyone in the scene. Mm. If no one knows who you are they really a contact?
Yeah.
Can you really send them an email and they'll reply?
Yeah.
Can you call them and they'll actually give a shit?
Yeah.
So you need to kind of look at that. And the best way to do that is you just get a piece of paper, write your name in the middle of it, so you're the center of it. And you build out who are your one degree of contacts. So you put everyone, and you should, if this person is a one degree of contact, first degree, that basically means you'll call them and they'll answer and be like, hey man, what's happening? How you going? What can I do for you? Super good relationship.
Yep.
And then you list all of those people, their name, their phone number, their email address, because you should have that. List all of the people that you would say that first degree relationship and write down their role in the music industry. Is this person an artist? Is it a booking agent? Blah, 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 blah. All of a sudden, go through your phone book, your emails, empty them all out.
Yep.
They are your
contact list.
They're your first contact list. Then from that, go, who are my second degrees? Who are the people that I kind of know? I see them at gigs often. If I saw them face to face, we'd know each other.
They'd recognize you.
But if I called them out of the blue, I'd have to be like, hey man, this is Marshall from Marshall Street. I met you with this guy. We know of each other, but it's not in that first degree basis. Then your second tier. So then you've got your first and your second tier contacts. Now you want to build out who you need to meet. This is when you can go online and be like, all right, I need to find this person and this person, this person. Go on Facebook, find out who the big managers are, who runs the big labels, list them down, and that your goal is to meet them. So now you go through your first and your secondary contacts, trying to establish these third degrees and then constantly try to bring them all down into your close contact ring.
Yep.
The more you can just bring people from a third to a second to a first degree contact, the bigger your contacts are and the more people that know you.
Yes. And word of mouth is that thing that comes naturally from those sorts of relationships.
Definitely.
Why wouldn't that person want to share your skills if they think that you're really good at it?
Yep.
Like, and it's same for them. Like, if you've heard about them, chances are they're quite good at what they do. And it's worth having a chat with them and just, you know, finding out if there's anything you can do to help and how they can help you. The other thing, the other advice, I can't remember who said it, but it's pretty wide. A great thing to do is ask for favors. Ask people for favors.
I think there's one quote that is like, the best thing you can do is ask an enemy to do you a favor or something like that. Yep. The best way to turn an enemy to a friend is to ask them to do a favor for you.
Yep. And the reason...
That can have its shortfall. If you call up someone like, hey, can you do me a favor? Look, in a creative field, I might just be like, yeah, dude, go fuck yourself.
Yeah, of course. But in terms of building that relationship, if you're not going to do that for someone that you don't know, because why would they do you a favor? But if you know them semi-well or something like that, this could be good for the second tier contact potentially or the first tier contact is asking someone for a favor, because that can build this repertoire between you and you start to build trust with each other when someone does you a favor, and you can then return that favor for them.
And actually show appreciation when they do it. And then, be like, and then offer your services. Hey, man, you know, thank you so much for looking after this artist at the show that I couldn't get there to. You know, just don't know if you know, but I also do videos as well. If you ever need a video for any of your artists, let me know. I'm more than happy to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. And these don't have to be huge favors. It could be something like, can I borrow your drum kit?
Yeah.
You know, that's something simple as that. means if that person says yes and you use their kit and you take it back to them in really great condition, mm-hmm. you've taken care of it, you've even given it a clean or something extra yep. and then given it back to them, they're like, fuck, this thing's spotless, man. That's yep. awesome. Thank you. Yep. You are now building trust and building relationships and networks. Yep.
And then the other thing, as we've said before, is you can't shortcut a healthy relationship, which I'm going to go a little bit meta on this. So there's been some studies and basically polls done at the moment looking at millennials and their quality of life. And the two aspects that repeatedly millennials say that are lacking are real relationships of substance and enjoyment and quality of their job satisfaction.
Right.
And these are two things that if you really dive into it, they can't be shortcutted. In an instantaneous world we live in through apps and you can have food dropped off here, everything has become in an instant. Mm-hmm. The two things you can't shortcut are real relationships and job satisfaction. Mm-hmm. They take hours. Mm-hmm. Literally, if it doesn't matter if you put me and someone else in the same room together for 24 hours, mm-hmm. you can't shortcut a 50-hour relationship. You can't. We've only done 24 hours together.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if that was 24 hours of awesome relationship bonding and building and we laughed and you cried and there was tears and now we trust each other. That's still not going to be as strong as a 25-hour relationship or a 50-hour.
10-year relationship.
So now you cannot shortcut it. So bring that mindset into everything. You know, the worst thing an up-and-coming artist can do is go straight to the punch and be like, sweet man, how do we shortcut this so that we're best friends?
Yep.
You're not going to.
Yep.
And you're going to come off as disingenuous and like you don't really give a shit if you're trying to. So keep that in mind. The point of networking isn't for this short one transactional relationship. You want this person.
It's long-term, man.
You want to be their best friend in 10 years.
Yeah.
In fact, I remember one of the things when Jack the Bear first, when he first called me and said that like he was down to mentor me, on the phone, what he said is like, look, man, this will be like it's a once a month catch up, like blah, 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 go through. And what he said is like, look, I'm not looking for a fucking new best friend here. He's like, I can talk you through. And in my head, I'm like, okay, let's see how this goes. Fucking 7 years later, he comes around to my fucking parents' house for lunch. Him and my mum are great friends. But it was like there was not any point during those first 5-6 years when I was like, hey, Tones, can you do this for me? Hey, Tones, it was, hey, man, let's just build this relationship. Yeah, yeah. What can I do for you, Tony?
Yep.
Cool, Tones, I need help with this. You just do that. Be a real person.
Yeah.
And over time, you strengthen that relationship.
Well, I know that I wouldn't be here if we hadn't built a relationship.
Yeah.
You know, we kept in touch after I stopped doing stuff with you with DYE. You know, you guys were wanting me to play drums. You got me to mix on your album. But then there was that period of about a year or two where you weren't really doing anything.
Yeah.
And so we kept in touch. You would come into Apple, we'd have a chat there. I would talk to you on the internet. I would share some shit with you on the internet. Like we'd have a laugh together.
Yep.
We'd see each other places sometimes. But if we didn't keep that relationship up and keep open to, and I was bringing people here. I was asking you for favors. I was saying, do you mind if I use one of the rooms?
Can I come and record? Yeah, yeah.
And you were like, yeah, sweet. If we didn't have that relationship, I wouldn't be here right now.
Mm, yep.
The other thing that we haven't talked about, and it comes back to when you are in a close relationship with a group of people, for example, like we are here at the studios, is accountability.
Mm.
It's a huge part of this puzzle. To level up, you need to be producing good things.
You need an accountability buddy.
Yeah, absolutely. What's that
off? Two bears, one cave. I stole it from the great Bert Kreischer.
Yeah, yeah.
Or so, Brent Crystals, as he's known.
You love that shit. But accountability is huge. If you want to be good at something, you need to be producing things in an efficient and really good quality.
Yep.
And so for someone to pull you up when you haven't done something well,
mm-hmm.
that just means you're getting better at it. Because if you say, oh man, sorry, I couldn't get that done like last week, I'll get it to you next week. That person said, I needed it last week, you need to get it to me today.
Mm.
It's like, okay, I guess I got to do it. What that's actually doing is making you better, because next time you're not going to want to have that conversation again.
Yep.
You're not going to want to get it to that person late. And you're probably going to take extra steps in getting things done in a timely manner. That's just one example.
Yep.
Another example is quality of things. Is if you're giving someone something that's half-assed and they can tell, they're going to give you feedback on it. You're going to be accountable for that, and you're going to, you know, have to deal with the consequences of your half-assedness.
Hmm.
And so someone that you trust, that you work really close with, if they can give you that feedback of, that's not going to cut it, man.
Yep.
guess what? Next time you're going to work harder at it and you're going to do better at it. And hopefully if you're smart enough, you're going to bring that into other areas of not just your team.
Yep.
You're going to use it for your clients, for other people that you just meet, all that sort of stuff.
Yep. 100%. And it's only by having that team that you trust that they're going to know what you're actually capable of. Like, you know, it's hard for someone to hold you to any degree of, accountability if they don't know what you can actually do.
That's true.
So by having this team who you know and trust around you, suddenly you've got a better support network because they actually know what you're capable of. Not only that, they'll know when to back off. Yeah. Be like, fuck, man, something's not right. Like, what do we need to talk about? Mm. Because what you're performing isn't where it should be. So what's wrong? Like, do we need to sort out something before it? And it's even like those times when it gets, I guess, hard or when you don't feel like you know what's coming next or those times of uncertainty, having that team to, all right, let's just start spitballing. Let's start brainstorming. What do things look like? Like at the start of the year here at the studios, we were like that. There was me, Matt and Clax all sat there and we were like, what are we doing this year? Yeah. Like what's the point of it? Where did we want to take things? But most of all, what did we want to be doing in our lives? Like what made us happy? So that's going to tell us what areas we need to push forward on.
Yeah.
And it was only by us having that environment where we could map it out and suddenly like, oh, okay, cool. Now we're starting to move forward. Now we're starting to take one step in front of the other, moving forward to a goal that we've already mapped out because we've got a team that we trust to be able to say these things in front of.
You could never have done that by yourself.
Correct.
There's no way.
Yep.
Because again, it's all of that. It's that perspective. It's that understanding. It's that listening. It's just having a different set of ears on your thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
That is huge. Like if you're not able to explain to anyone what you're thinking or what you're feeling or what you actually want to do with your life, you're going to get clouded. It's all going to be stuck in your head.
Mm.
You're just not going to be able to have a vision of what you actually want to do. And that's huge. Having that team around you that you can have discussions with, that you can whiteboard stuff out with, I can't overstate this. It is so crucial to getting better.
Yep.
It just really is.
Getting better as a human.
Yeah.
And, you know, and they're the things that the human mind doesn't jump to them and think that that's why you need a team around you as an artist. As an artist, you're thinking, well, I need a team around me to make me a video.
Yep.
I need a team around me to mix my track. When what the team will actually be doing is making you a better person.
Mm-hmm.
And the holistic approach that we take here is if you're a better person, your art is better.
Yep.
If you can communicate and can have a handle on your emotions well, you're going to be a better person. Your art is going to be better. If you use your art as an outlet for your emotions instead of flying off the handle every time something doesn't go your way, you're going to be a better person from it. So
you're going to have better relationships.
100%. Yep. You're going to be happier.
Yep. Yeah.
So, you know, I guess the big takeaway from that is the reasons to build your team might not be the reasons you think you need people around you.
Yep.
It's all the other intangibles that come around having a support network that are the real reasons, you know. And, you know, we say it all the time, but with the team, we've got like in our morning meetings and how we go about things here, you know, it's almost like group therapy in the morning. Yeah. If someone's down, like we can talk about it, you can get it out. And I think, like Clack even said it one day, he's like, I think people go to therapy because they don't have people like this to talk to.
Yeah.
Because what we're doing, if someone's down, it's like, hey, man, let's talk about this.
Yeah, yeah.
Where absolutely. Are you at? And you get it and you're like, man, it's good to get it off your chest. And then you're like, oh, now I can move forward.
Yep.
Like just having those people to talk with, it's so invaluable to life.
Yeah, absolutely. Every day we're checking in on the four different areas, physical, spiritual, mental, and emotional. And those are the four areas that we check in with each other every single morning to give a score on how we're feeling that day. Because without that honesty of, hey, I'm actually feeling pretty shit emotionally, you can't begin to get better at it and move forward and improve. And some days it's going to be shit. Some days it's going to be awesome.
Yep. But you can see trends.
Yeah, you can.
Like when we, the first day, because you were in ISO.
Yeah.
So if anyone wants to, we got this from AJ, who's come here, he's a culture coach. Basically, he works with teams. Well, it's corporates, and he takes a lot from high-performance teams to how to get the most out of your staff in a business sense.
Yeah.
Basically, it's all those four aspects, -3 to +3, 0 being neutral. -3 is, hey, guys, I'm in trouble here. I need help.
It's the worst. Yeah.
+3 is, I'm fucking ready to go. I am feeling good.
Yeah.
So you score all of that. If you're 0 across the board, you're just neutral. You're like, guys, I'm not really good. I'm not bad, but I'm just in cruising. I'm there. I'm
kind
so
flat,
so.
Yeah.
We started off this year and I think we had an average of like 3, like across all 4. So out of a possible 12, we were hitting like 2s and 3s.
Yeah.
Which is pretty bad out of 12. Yep. So, you know, especially for us.
Yep.
And so we could identify, like, all right, guys, we're all super low here. We all need a one, get on the same page, and we need to build through this. The next Monday, I think we were back to, everyone hit double figures. Yeah. We were back to 10, 11, and 12.
Yep.
If we didn't sit and have that meeting and go, how's everyone feeling? It's very easy for that in a workspace to go untold, and it keeps festering in your mind. It keeps building.
Yep.
And a lot of it is just communication,
yep.
Especially in a workplace that you can be feeling something. You could be feeling that someone's feeling this way when they're not. You just may have misinterpreted something.
Totally.
So until you say that, they're like, oh, no, that wasn't what I meant. They're like, oh, yep, I've just exactly. created this thing in my mind.
Yep.
So until you, you know, and this is us developing a system to have those conversations if it's needed.
Mm-hmm.
In a perfect scenario, you know, the system isn't there, but it's for when things don't go, going to plan, you go, okay, well, we've got a safety net.
Well, this is what I was going to say is most days we are sitting up really high. And I think it's because we have this culture here that we're regularly discussing it. We're regularly unpacking how we're feeling and we are able to move and pivot and get better. And that is why most of the days we're like, nah, I'm fucking killing it. You know, I'm feeling good, but it is because of those sorts of things that we've put in place. That sort of culture that we want to build here, that's why we're feeling up those scores.
100%. Yeah. And the big thing about culture is it can take months and months to build. And anyone who's currently working in a job and the culture is bad, they will know this. And anyone who's working in a job that they love and the culture is great, they will also recognize this. Culture takes months to build. And it can be ruined in an instant.
Mm.
It's kind of like for anyone who goes down, who does fermenting, if you make kombucha or anything like that, culture takes months to build. And if one fruit fly gets it or if one bit of outside bacteria gets in there, it's all fucked. So it's not a set and forget. It's not like, hey, we print out this document every day and we have a good culture. You're constantly refining it and you've
absolutely.
Got to constantly find out what's going wrong so that you can make it right.
And this is a parallel to your music
yeah.
career. It really is. Like all of those little things that you just said are parallels to you getting better at your music and getting it better at your job, at your career, you know, at your life. All of these things, they all feed into each other.
They all go into each other.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
It's huge.
We take it here almost to the extreme of the holistic approach.
Well, I think people are surprised when we tell them if some random people have sat in on some of our morning meetings, they're like, I've never seen this done before.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it speaks for itself. It works.
100%. And it's usually the last thing they'll expect, you know, especially if I'm telling someone, they're like, hey, man, look, a dude covered in tattoos with a mohawk, the stereotype of the music industry is that they don't give a shit about this.
Yeah, yeah.
When it's changing, we're now seeing like the suicide rates and OD rates in music are horrific. So for anyone working in Australia full-time in the music industry, the average life expectancy is 49 and the most likely way you're going to die is suicide or drug overdose.
Mm.
So if you just work in this industry full-time, you're not going to see 50 and you're either going to fucking kill yourself or OD. These are some gnarly stats.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's like something needs to happen, you know,
absolutely.
And we've all identified that and that's why this culture and what we do every day is so important.
Yep.
So that the 4 people in that office aren't any of those statistics, but not only that, any people who come through here, we wanted to rub off on them. Like, hey, man,
absolutely.
Look how these guys hold themselves.
And that is what I was going to say. If this sounds like something that you're interested in doing, you don't have to do it the exact way that we've said.
Nah.
Build your own thing.
Yeah.
Have your own conversations with your own people and build your own daily discussions or weekly discussions or whatever it might be to make those improvements and get better and feel better day to day. It's like
most people have you know, chats with their friends. They might have like a chat group on Insta or on Facebook. Go to, hey guys, I love this chat. Every morning, let's just check in with each other.
Yep.
Boom, that's all. It starts from that.
Yep.
Starts from, hey guys, just how's everyone's day going?
Yep.
Beautiful. Love it. Have a good day, everyone.
Yep.
Chat to you guys at Savo.
Yep.
Boom. That's you improving the culture.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love it.
Nice. Well, I think we've gone on and stretched the importance of team enough, Stewie, just to touch base for anyone who may have zoned out in the middle of that. The importance of having a team is not necessarily the reasons you may think on the surface.
Yeah.
You know, our mind will first go to the A to B approach of I need a videographer to have a film clip.
Yep.
Yes, you do.
What don't I have? What do I need?
Yep. And they are important when choosing the roles. But the big takeaway is all the other things that having a team around you brings.
Yep.
It improves your mind state. It improves
support network, accountability, using people's strengths and knowing your own weaknesses.
Yep. Time management.
Unpacking all of that sort of stuff. Yep. Yep. And you'll just level up.
You'll level up as a person.
And you'll keep improving.
Your art will be better. Your relationships will be better. You will be a better person in 12 months than you were today.
Yep. Can't recommend it enough. And 100%. I love what we do here at Marshall Street. It's fucking unreal.
It is. It is a better place to work than most construction sites, I can tell you that.
If you want to know more about it, we'd be happy to share some stuff like that with you in our free consultations that we have where I'm happy to talk about it.
100%.
I'm sure Matt is as well, with Marshall as well. Jump into our Instagram bios. You can find the links there.
Mm-hmm.
If you liked this, please share it with a friend. If there's something specific that you want us to talk about on the next podcast, let us know. We'd be happy to dive in.
Yep. Otherwise, thank you again for joining us, and we will catch you on the next episode of the Marshall Street Podcast.
Peace.